And a good Sunday morning to you. Susie still on vacation. Whoop, she'll be back next week in a couple of days, as a matter of fact. Denny Long here in the meantime. We have, as we promised, invited Dr. David Hilden back. Dr. Hilden is an internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare here in the Twin Cities. Good morning again, Dr. Hilden.
Good morning, Denny. 2 weeks in a row, it's starting to feel like a habit.
That? Yeah, it's like a solar eclipse that happens.
It's always great to chat with you and listeners on a Sunday morning.
Well, I wanted to get you back here because when we left you last week, we had some listeners send in text concerned, and they were indeed concerned. They want to know, and then we're going to do an open line show as we always do. So get your health care questions ready, either by phone or by text for Dr. Hilden. But maybe you can explain. Listeners, they want to know how to make sure Hennepin County Medical Center, HCMC, stays viable, is how they put it. And maybe, I thought, for those that don't know the issue or issues, you could kind of give us a little sketch of what's going on.
Well, I'd be happy to, Denny, and thank you for bringing it up. And listeners, thank you for bringing that question up. We didn't quite get to it last week, but somebody did really ask, how can we help the state safety net hospital? And so I'd be happy to say a few words about that. If you don't know what that means, safety net hospital, if you just think of, you know, the circus and a trapeze artist and they fall, there's a safety net. And it catches you no matter what happens. And most places in our country have a safety net system of some sort. Generally, it's a public hospital like Hennepin Healthcare, otherwise known as HCMC, Hennepin County Medical Center. And in the state of Minnesota, we're by far the largest of the safety net hospitals. What that means is that we see every living human that walks in our door, and we provide healthcare free of any politics, or we don't ask who you are. We just see a person in front of us, and I take that back. We ask who you are. We ask your name and all that. but we see everybody without any hassles for people. If you are in a car accident, if you are the unfortunate victim of a fire, if you got burned while camping, if you are ice fishing in Brainerd and you have a carbon monoxide issue, it's highly likely you will come to the safety net because we won't let you fall through. Our hospital will not let you fall through that net. We will do everything we can. The tragic school shooting of a couple weeks ago was an example of that. Many people remember when the 35W bridge over the Mississippi River fell. A long time ago now, 10, 15 years ago, we were there for that too. And those were for people who are on that bridge. So it's truly the safety net. But a lot of people think that it's just covered by your taxes. And unfortunately, that's not the case. It's not. We are really, really happy and proud of our partnership with the people of Hennepin County, where we're located in Minneapolis. We really are. Our county elected officials are wonderful partners to us. They are as committed to healthcare, the Hennepin County commissioners, as are anybody I know. And so that's all wonderful. But we don't get the most of our budget from there, just a few percent. As generous as the county is, they can't do it themselves, and we serve all the people of Minnesota. And so we get our payment the same way every other hospital does. We bill your insurance company. And there's a big issue with that, though. When your insurance company is Medicare or Medicaid or other public programs, it doesn't pay the bills. And yet we see everybody. And so can you imagine if you were running a business that every time somebody came in, the amount you were paid didn't pay for the service you were offering, and yet you had to keep offering that service. We don't have the option of simply saying no, nor do we ever even want that option. We want to take care of you. So it's a financial model that isn't really sustainable. So if people want to help, I think it needs to be the good people of all 87 counties of Minnesota caring for the safety net hospital. So I suggest if you know, or even if you don't, write or call your Minnesota state legislator and say, we support safety net healthcare at Hennepin Healthcare. It's a resource for our whole state. The other thing is, there are safety net hospitals in your county, in in Beltrami County or Goodearth County or all of them, Otter Tail County, you all have smaller, much smaller safety net hospitals, but they're critically important to you as well. And if those small critical access hospitals go away, you will also have less good health care in your counties. So it's a big system of smaller hospitals and then our big, huge one in downtown Minneapolis. So I just, I'm a big advocate for health care for everybody. And so if people want to know how you can help, you know, send your good thoughts, your support for legislation at the state of Minnesota to help the safety net healthcare system. Yeah. That'd be my plea. That's a little bit of healthcare financing 101.
Well, it's true. It's kind of a rock and a hard place situation. And get a hold of your legislators. That's the best advice. Thank you, doctor, for that. Let's get to that. And we hope everything works out. I'm looking at a text that says HCMC is a safety net hospital. Do some hospitals turn away patients?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the answer is they don't like intentionally turn you away. If you're at the emergency department at every other hospital, they are required by law to see you. And not only that, they're great people at other hospitals too. They're going to take care of you if you show up at their emergency department. But not everybody has insurance. And not everybody has insurance that pays the things that they need. And so other healthcare systems do have a little bit more leeway in who they will care for. The big issue is that if you have no insurance whatsoever, or your insurance isn't the greatest in the whole wide world, you might not always get the care you need at other places. I want to be super careful, though, because I know doctors at dozens of hospitals in this state. And they're all committed to your well-being. So if you really need them, they're going to be there for you too.
Yeah.
But I think that it's something like 10 or 12% of the patients who see come to my hospital can't pay their bill. 10 to 12% of our customers can't pay their bill. That number is a quarter of that at the other hospitals.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. And then we're already getting some other input from listeners. Other general health questions. Yeah, the rest of the way we're doing an open line show as we always have. So if you have any kind of a health care question for Dr. Hillen, by all means, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Welcome back to CCO for a Sunday. Denny Long filling in for my pal Susie Jones, who shall return next Sunday, probably with a slideshow of her trip. I think she's in Ireland. Remember when people did slideshows, Dr. Hilden? I don't know.
35 millimeter slides with the carousels? I love that.
Yeah, I think I still have one of those. Dr. was just joining us. Dr. David Hilden has come back this week, and we're glad he did. Internal medicine physician at Hennepin County Medical Center at Hennepin Healthcare. We're taking your calls just like the old days, 651-461-9226. And as usual, doctor, we have a bunch of them. Here's one, and forgive my pronunciation here. You're going to have to help me with this. Can lichen planopilaris cause scalp and head pain or cause headaches? Is there a safe and effective treatment for it?
That was a really good pronunciation.
Was I close?
Lichen. I don't even know if it's plano or plano, so you maybe nailed it, and I'm going to get it wrong. Planopilaris. Take this one with a grain of salt, listeners. I am not a dermatologist, but I play one on the radio, I guess is what I should say. Lichenification, or the word lichen, L-I-C-H-E-N, is the thickening and the roughening up of skin due to any kind of inflammatory condition. There must have been some brilliant person ages ago who thought it looked like lichen on a tree bark. You know, that little thickened roughening on a tree. It looks like that in your skin. It can be caused by any number of things. In inflammatory conditions, excessive scratching, and then your skin gets thick and rough and fissured. Well, this kind of lichenification, lichen planopilaris, is when it happens on your scalp. And so what it can do is your scalp skin thickens, because without your hair, your scalp is just covered with skin. It can get thickened. And what happens is it can destroy the hair follicles on your head. The result of a destroyed hair follicle is that the hair can't grow. And so it leads to hair loss. And the deal with this particular mechanism, it's not that common, but I wouldn't say it's rare. It's not one of these, never going to see it. It's not that common, but it's not that rare, if that makes any sense. It leads to scarring because those hair follicles are destroyed, and so you can have some permanence to that hair loss, kind of in patches, usually a little patchy hair loss. So if you have hair loss that you don't know what's happening, it's probably not this, but no matter what it is, if you have hair loss that's coming out in patches, you should see a dermatologist so they can determine if there is scarring in your scalp. There are medications that can help lessen that, anti-inflammatory medications. There's some kind of heavy-duty medications that might help a little bit. It can't restore the patches that are scarred, but it can make it so it doesn't happen quite as often. Your dermatologist will probably recommend, and I would too, don't put lots of chemicals on your skin and your head, just in general. Really, in general, look what's in your shampoos. No alcohols in there. You should never have alcohols in your shampoos and your lotions. It's just drying. So look for really pure and natural scalp products like shampoos. I can't name them straight up, but that's what the dermatologist is going to say, I'm almost certain, is that make sure you're using non-medicated, really gentle lotions and shampoos.
I'm looking at a text, Dr. Hilden, about COVID brain fog, and I'm wondering, you, as an internist, you treat adults, and since COVID hit us, are you seeing or hearing people coming into your clinic saying, how do I get rid of this COVID brain fog?
I am hearing that, and this is one of the kind of, I don't want to say unsettling, but unsatisfying things for patients and for me, because I don't know what caused it, and I don't know what to do about it. But it's real, is that people feel a general sense of, I'll call it like chronic fatigue or a chronic malaise, or some people have said a fogginess in your brain, like I'm just not quite as sharp as I used to be. And many people can date that back to that time a month ago or 6 months ago when I had COVID. It's probably really complicated. It's probably some inflammatory process in your body. Who knows what's happening in our immune systems there, but it seems to be a real thing. So I hope someday we know something about that. But you should get basic blood tests, and then you should work really hard on good sleep habits, really good diet, and in the absence of any other diagnosis that might explain your brain fog, just staying physically active, staying mentally active, and hopefully we'll learn a lot more about that as the years go by.
I'm looking at a text, Dr. Hilden, concerning their 86-year-old mother who is a former dialysis patient. They want to know, what might hospice be like for my mother?
Oh, hospice is one of the greater inventions of our era, or I don't even know if it's our era, whoever started it some years ago. The process of what we do in medicine is often trying to cure what you have, as it should be. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We try to make it so that whatever you have, we cure it. But we often can't do that. So we try to manage what you have. And let's say you have diabetes. We can't cure that, but we can manage it. Hospice is when the illness that you have is advanced, and you're not likely to live very much longer, usually 6 months or so. You're not likely to live longer than that. And so hospice is an intensification of your cares. It's not throwing in the towel. It's not abandoning your cares. It's more, we do even more cares, but the goal is different. The goal isn't to cure what you have at all. The goal is simply to manage your quality of your life for whatever time you have left and make it as darn good as we possibly can. And the people who work in hospice are generally some of the most compassionate, kind, skilled people I've ever met. People often call them the angels.
Absolutely.
your hospice nurse might be your biggest angel of your life, who will help for what you have left. It is just a recognition that you deserve to have comfort and dignity and as much comfort as you possibly can. And so if you're eligible for hospice, meaning you have this type of terminal illness, I strongly recommend looking into it if that's who you are. And if you outlive what you thought, good on you. Good. You don't have to. It's okay if you lived longer than people initially thought. That's wonderful. So hospice is not. It actually has been shown to increase lifespan a little bit because people are happier and they're more comfortable and they're with their loved ones doing what they want. So I'm a big. I think most doctors I know are big fans of that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes. Heard that term angels a lot.
Yep. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. But if that's you, it's worth a look.
Looking at a text, Dr. Hilden, about HCMC putting out a call for blood a couple of weeks ago. They want to know, do we show up at the hospital to donate blood? That's a good question.
That is a really good question. And the answer is no. We have a system of places that collect blood in our system, in our world. The two big ones in Minnesota are the Red Cross and Memorial Blood Centers. And they typically fan out, they have locations. So if you go to the Red Cross of Minnesota, I don't know the website, or if you go to Memorial Blood Centers in Minnesota, you will find the locations where they do it. Sometimes they come to you. Sometimes they park the blood mobile outside a public library or something. Often they do it at corporate events. They'll come to your place of employment. Or you can go to one of their locations, which are scattered throughout the state. They're everywhere. And then they manage the blood supply. They're experts at collecting it safely. They test the blood so it's extremely safe, and then they ship it to the hospitals. So you don't have to come directly to the hospital, but support the Red Cross or Memorial.
Excellent. I know we're going to break for that forecast, Dr. Hilden. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the podcast, those great podcasts I was going to say publish, but I guess you do kind of publish them.
Yeah, kind of.
But there's one I noticed, and I want to check it out. It may not apply to everybody, but with the changes coming up in Medicaid, maybe you could give us a little hint of that podcast, and then we'll pick up on more open line questions here on the show. So stand by. Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, answering those health care questions this Sunday morning. Susie will be back next week, by the way. We'll have a look at that forecast. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Welcome back to our health talk on this Sunday morning. This is the 14th of September. Susie Jones is taking today off. She'll be back, though, next week. Denny Long in her stead this morning. If you're just joining us, Dr. David Hilden has returned, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, to answer those health care questions. Before the break, Dr. Hilden, I mentioned those great podcasts, and they really are, that you do. They're about, what, a half hour or so long?
Yeah, they're about a half hour long. It's a good time if you want to learn a little bit about a specific healthcare topic in about a half an hour or 30 minutes. I have some of my guests from Hennepin Healthcare on the podcast, which you can find at healthymatters.org. That's the whole thing, healthymatters.org. And we talk about a healthcare topic in a lighthearted way. You're not going to medical school here. We all try to keep you from having to learn too much jargon and like. It's just a lighthearted, accessible way to learn things. Like today, we released an episode about what's it like to be a new mother. I talked to an obstetrician, a doctor who delivers your baby, Dr. Samantha Pace. She's delivered thousands of babies. So I talked to her what that's like and some tips from her. We've talked about pneumonia and common colds. A few weeks ago, we talked about Medicaid, which we touched on earlier in the show today. If you want to learn about what Medicaid means and why that affects you, not just people who get care at Hennepin Healthcare in downtown Minneapolis, why do you care about Medicaid? Maybe you are listening in Wilmer or Duluth, or, you know, maybe why should you care about Medicaid? You don't use Medicaid. Why should you care? Well, you should. It matters. It matters to you. So we have a podcast episode by an expert on Medicaid, a woman named Susie Emmert, one of my heroes of the world. She is an absolute expert in that. So go to healthymatters.org and give a listen, or wherever you get your podcasts on your phone or your computer or your car.
Yeah, they're great, great pieces of information. You can get a lot of work done while you're listening. It's one of those
things. Yeah, you can be driving or on the treadmill or doing dishes or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should get on the treadmill. You reminded me of that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you're doing that right after the show, Denny. Sure you're going right on the treadmill. That's
Where I hang my clothes, yeah. good morning, Texter says. I was wondering if he had any tips or the best way to stop a nosebleed. That's a good question.
Yeah, nosebleeds are usually not something serious unless it bleeds a whole lot. But in other words, it's not usually due to some underlying horrible thing. It is usually due to dry air because you've got all these little teeny blood vessels in your nose and the air gets dry and they get cracked. And the mucosal surface, mucosa, should be wet, moist. It should be, the inside of your nose should be that. It gets dry, and so it bleeds. What you should do is pinch your nose until, get your head above the level of your heart. You kind of, most of us know that. You can put a Kleenex in there. But if it's happening to you often, you should be seen by an ENT doctor who can recommend some things. And one of the things they might recommend is an Afrin nasal spray. Now, Afrin is a brand name, but that nasal spray clamps down the blood vessels and stops the bleeding. But it's just got a huge caveat. You don't want to use that nasal spray more than a couple of days because you're going to wish you hadn't. Your nasal congestion will be unreal if you use it too much. So pinch your nose, go find out why it's happening, if it's happening a lot. But the best thing, prevent it by keeping the air at the right humidity level, especially in winter months. Maybe you want to run a humidifier in your house or just use a saltwater nasal spray. That might keep your nose wet enough so that it doesn't happen in the first place.
Very good. A texter says this, I lost my spleen due to a car accident when I was 20. Is there anything I can do to help stay well? As I've gotten older, I seem to be prone to viruses, sore throats, etc. You know, I've heard about that with people having their spleen removed. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, everybody wants to know, like, what the heck's the spleen for? And the answer is nobody knows. Nobody knows, listeners. Uh-huh. I'm kidding. I love that line because it's often in med school. You never have a section of medical school where you learn about just the spleen. You do the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the liver, the four biggies, but you never have like spleen week. So we always laugh about that. Your spleen is part of your immune system, though. It's an important part of your immune system. It does happen to be one of the organs you can do without, however. Kind of like your gallbladder. You can do without your gallbladder if you had to. You can do without your spleen if you have to, as this listener has indicated. What it puts you at risk for, though, are infectious things because your immune system has been messed around with. And so there are certain infectious agents, particularly some bacteria. So you need to get immunized. They should have done it when they took your spleen out years ago. They almost immediately give you vaccinations for Haemophilus, meningitis, staph, all these various things that are vaccine preventable, but most people don't get that vaccine because they have a spleen. So make sure you got your vaccines and then just stay healthy by avoiding avoid people who are actively coughing or sneezing or have a fever, or if you have those things, get care quite early. There's nothing else specific you need to do except make sure you got your vaccinations. That'd be the number one thing.
Speaking of that, vaccinations, what can we get now this time of year? We, of course, flu.
Flu and COVID.
Do the COVID. Now, do the different pharmaceuticals have the choice? Like if you always use a certain brand, if I can use that, of a COVID shot, any one is good?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think there are still three available in the United States. Two of them use the mRNA. And whatever you heard about mRNA, messenger RNA. It's probably not true. What you read on the internet, there's all kinds of misinformation. These are safe. The mRNA is simply like a little recipe that goes into your arm, and your body sees the recipe, and then it makes the right antibodies and the right immune system, and the recipe goes away. It gets destroyed in just a few days. So nobody's messing with your genetics in the vaccines. Right. That's not a true statement. You can get whatever is available at your local pharmacy or clinic. You don't have to get the same one you had last year, and you can do it now. COVID and flu and one time in your life, RSV, if you're over age 75.
So that RSV is a one time.
That's a newer vaccine for adults. It is not for children. Children, I mean, we've known about RSV for decades and decades and decades, especially in babies. But it's also a big deal in adults. And now there's a vaccine for older adults over age 75. You should get that one time.
Can you get all three at the same day?
You can. What you're going to get is a little sore arm. You might get a little tired because your body is practicing. When you get a vaccine, people say, I got sick. Well, your body's practicing. So, yes, you can get all three at the same time.
This is an interesting and poignant, I think, question. You had alluded to it, maybe more than alluding to it, last week. But this listener, and I'm sure many, how is the staff doing at Hennepin since the awful shooting and annunciation? They say, I pray for all those involved and I'm grateful for their service. Your colleagues there, they're kind of unsung heroes, and I know that's not the focus, but they've been through a lot themselves.
They have, yeah. And that last sentence is a true statement. The people that are obviously the ones that are first and foremost are those families of the students and their parents and those kids. But we do appreciate your prayers. I'll say that on behalf of all 7,000 Hennepin employees. We do. So thank you for that. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support in tangible ways like calling legislators and all that. And thank you for donating blood. I think people are in this phase now. I ran into a couple people who care for children who are a little bit in an angry phase. At the first week or two, it was like, you know, it's sort of like those stages of grief. It was, you know, just shock and adrenaline. And then they were sad. And now it's like, oh my goodness, why do we tolerate children dying of gunfire? Why do we tolerate that in our country? And there are so many things we could be doing as a society that we don't. And I know some surgeons who are just avid gun owners and avid hunters, and no one's coming after their guns. We want to make sure they get to keep doing that. But when children are being shot, I had a surgeon who was just sort of like, why? So thank you for those thoughts. Thank you for those prayers. And thank you for those actions to keep people safe. They will move and live on to see another day. It is also notable that the school shooting annunciation was a kind of a obvious event. But our team cares for gunshot victims all the time. Sometimes don't get as much attention in other places all the time from our state. And so they're kind of hardened to it. But it's been a rough couple of weeks. So we've got our psychological teams fanning out. I saw about half a dozen psychologists in a corner crying last week, and so somebody has to care for the psychologists. So it's a big undertaking. But thank you everybody for your support.
Thanks to the listener for that, indeed. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll be back with more of our Health Hour. Denny in for Susie. She'll be back next week, I promise. 651-461-9226. That'll get you a phone call or a text question for Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare. Stay with us. Right now in the Twin Cities, I can tell you we're at 69 degrees on our way to 89. And as far as getting back to it tomorrow, Monday, chance of showers, otherwise near 85. 69 now on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's a Sunday morning on 830 WCCO. We're talking health with Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare. Susie Jones taking the day off today. She'll be back next week. Danny Long in the meantime, and we have callers and we have texters, Dr. Hilden, so I guess we better get back to it. Mary is first up here on the phone calling in from St. Paul. Thanks for hanging on, Mary. What's your question for Dr. Hilden?
Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Hilden, I wonder if you could recommend any other drugs. I had a short time in the hospital. They gave me Farxiga and Eliquis. I used it for 30 days. When I went to the drugstore to get my first prescription, and I have Medicare Advantage plan besides Medicare, my copay was $680 for 90-day supply on the two drugs. Is there anything else that you could suggest that I can tell my doctor when I go the 25th?
Yeah, great questions, Mary. Thank you for calling. Farxiga and Eliquis are the brand names. The first one's a medicine to treat diabetes. Its generic is dapagliflozin, believe it or not. And Eliquis is a blood thinner. And so I shouldn't recommend something different specifically, but I hear your pain. Those are both brand names and very, very expensive. So what I would suggest, go to your doctor and say, this thing is not affordable. That's a feature of our healthcare system. It's not affordable. There are plenty of other treatments for diabetes. Farxiga is in a class of medicine that has a half a dozen cousins in it. Maybe one of the other ones would treat your diabetes. Eliquis is in a class of medicines, of blood thinners, of which there are three or four or five other ones. And they're all good. They're good. There's nothing unique about Farxiga or Eliquis that you have to take those specific ones. So for the time being, I recommend doing what your doctor suggested. But also, go to your doctor and say, I can't afford these. I need other options. I do this every day of my life. I have pharmacists that I call. I say, what is affordable that is also acceptable? I do that every single day. I literally every day. And I go to the pharmacist and said, Farxiga, $600. How about Jardiance, which is another one? Maybe Jardiance is half as much. And it's because your insurance company has negotiated drug prices. Maybe they negotiated a better price with the maker of one of the other ones. Just know that there are alternatives to Eliquis and there are alternatives to Farxiga. There's nothing unique about them. They're great drugs, don't get me wrong. But ask your doctor to find something cheaper, and I bet you that they can.
All right. This listener via text, Dr. Hilden, says, I'm having a hard time getting rid of thrush. The doctor prescribed a topical cream. Sure is hard to sleep, they say. First of all, what is thrush?
Thrush is a fungal infection in your mouth. It's like, you know how you get athlete's foot in your feet? Got it in your mouth. You know, that's what it is. Yeast or fungus or our little things on our skin, they're all over our environment. They like wet. They like places, and they like your mouth, you're in between your feet, under your breasts, and your groin. They like all those places. I doubt it's a lotion in your mouth. Usually it's a swish and swallow or a swish and spit kind of a thing. It's a solution that you kind of swish around your mouth, and then you spit it out. Nystatin's one of them. I would try one of those. I hope that's what you're trying. And if it's not working, you can take an oral pill. There are oral pills, antifungal pills, that you can try instead for your thrush. You might want to find out why you have it. Most of us don't get that. Your body takes care of it. So good dental hygiene, seeing if you have underlying medical problems that's leading you to have this. Usually looks like a white kind of cheesy thin film on your tongue and in your mouth. It looks white. Usually, that's what it usually looks like. So there are good treatments. Go to your primary doctor ought to be able to handle that one for you, I think.
Another question about the COVID shots. Do you need to wait a year between them?
No. Although we do suggest 3 to 6 months. And the reason is not that you're going to get harmed if you take one too fast, but you're wasting it. You still have protection from the previous one. So don't get your next one while the previous one's still kind of working. Maximize your protection by waiting 3 to 6 months at least. But you can. There's no harm in getting it every year. In fact, that's probably what we're going to be doing for the foreseeable future.
I think we have time maybe for one more question. This listener has trouble with their blood sodium. I know we used to get questions about this on our show years ago. My blood sodium level being too low, so my primary doc is changing my BP meds to find a good balance of control. Are there things I can eat or not eat that would help raise my sodium level?
Yeah, not usually. Usually a low sodium doesn't mean you don't have enough salt in your body. It means your blood is too dilute. You know, it's like almost your blood has too much water. It's more of a water problem, not a salt problem. And many blood pressure medicines can alter your water sodium balance. So get your medicines tuned up. Sometimes we do have to change blood pressure medicines because of sodium problems. I would just suggest a healthy diet. Whole foods, low on the food chain, lots of plants, lean meats, avoid processed foods. Avoid processed foods. That's like the mantra of our era. But don't go taking lots of salt. That's usually not the solution. But I think your doctor can probably tweak your blood pressure medicines and then just eat a balanced, healthy diet.
Here's another one we used to get, and I'm sure you get daily in clinic. Texter says, I have recurring imbalance and lightheadedness. It's getting worse over time. What may be causing those symptoms? Boy, if you had an answer.
If I had an answer to dizziness and lightheadedness, it's one of the most common complaints and has about 1,000 causes. That's a little exaggeration, but it's got dozens of causes. Make sure your inner ears are checked. That's an easy one. Go to an audiologist to make sure your inner ears are functioning as they should. Make sure your blood tests look good. If you're dizzy, you should get blood tests. That usually includes making sure you're not anemic or a low hemoglobin. That usually means making sure your thyroid's working okay. So get all these blood tests. And then sometimes it can be due to your heart. Not as commonly, though. Fortunately, not as commonly your heart. But somebody should listen to your heart to make sure that you don't have, for instance, a very slow heart rate. If your heart rate's too slow, you can pass out because you're not getting enough blood up to your melon, if you know what I mean. Your brain's not getting enough blood. So check all into all those things. The causes are many, many, many. There's just a ton of them. Most of them are benign, not serious, and treatable. But not all. So it's good to get a pretty thorough workup from your primary care clinician.
Dr. Hilden, it's been great having you on. We've got 60 seconds to go here. And remind listeners, I really want to let them know about those podcasts. How do we find those great podcasts?
Yeah, please, if you are a podcast listener, and do it wherever you go, wherever you listen to them. Just look for Healthy Matters with Dr. David Hilden, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not a podcast listener, just go to your computer. Type there in the address bar, healthymatters.org. You'll see my ugly old face on there. I'm actually wearing a white coat, which I don't do very often. But, you know, people think their doctor has to wear a white coat, so I put one on for the picture. And you can listen to them right on your computer. They just take 20 to 30 minutes, and you can browse the topics, listen to what interests you, and don't listen to what doesn't. healthymatters.org.
Thank you, Dr. Hilden. A texter says, we are so lucky to have doctors like you educating and caring for people in Minnesota. Let's leave you with that. Thank you for that text.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dr. Hilden. Always fun, always a pleasure, and let's hope we talk again.
See you soon, Denny.
Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with HCMC. Your money straight ahead. Stay with us here on CCO.